with the scripture reading today, Psalm 23. Thanks, Sharon.
Good morning. My name is Sharon Hoverson. Last week, we began our Summer in the Psalms series, starting with Psalm 1. The book of Psalms contains 150 prayers, songs, liturgies, and poems composed by many different authors, many of whom are not identified. Psalms are people's response to God and always an expression of worship. We continue our series by studying Psalm 23, one of the best known and favored in the Psalter, or the Book of Psalms. In it, David reflected on God's many blessings to him and concluded that God would continue to be faithful to him and grant him fellowship in the future. This is a psalm of trust and confidence in God's goodness in the present and in the future. Psalm 23 is one of the most common psalms read during celebrations of life, portraying hope in the Lord. We will read the psalm responsively, where I will read the leader part and you will read the congregational cues on the screen, a reading of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want.
He makes me lie down.
He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul.
He leads me in right paths for his name's sake.
Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me.
You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life.
And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated.
Morning, church.
Morning.
So just last week, it's hard to believe that was only a week ago, you commissioned us at the 8:15 service. We were commissioned, sent out, our middle schoolers were, to Milwaukee to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ and to serve alongside of our neighbors there and to witness what God was already up to in the great area of Milwaukee. It was my first time to Milwaukee, so it was an interesting sight, a new youth work site. And so just a really, really great week, a really profound week. Half of our group, we had middle schoolers on this trip. And so half the middle schoolers came with me, and we went to intergenerational care facility. It's actually, there's not that many in our whole nation. They take anybody from birth to as old as you got them. And so there was one lady there that was 99 years old, and so she was awesome to be with. But and then they do a lot of intergenerational activities together. So in the mornings, we would work alongside the little ones, playing games with them and stuff. And then in the afternoons, we'd go into the elderly care facility, and then we'd sometimes bring them out to play games and to play with the kids. And it's just a really interesting aspect. So the kids, our kids, got to see something new for the first time, how that intergenerational ministry works together. And then our other half of the group, they did some more grunt work. They got to work at a couple food shelves, a community garden, a couple care facilities, unloading some deliveries, some food, different things like that. So they got to see a soup kitchen and some different kind of homelessness ministry that is in Milwaukee and how that works out. So it's just an amazing week. And people ask me all the time, like, what's the most impactful that happens along these weeks? Or, like, where does God show up? Or do you see, like, miracles of God that actually happen on these weeks? And I'm like, yeah, all the time. I don't know if you've ever spent a week with middle schoolers, but I survived the week. I mean, like, that's crazy to me, right? Like, God just shows up in amazing ways. It was an interesting week. I don't know if you dwelt with a whole handful of middle schoolers for a whole week, but if you want a life lesson, just do that. You'll get one really quick. But it's amazing to witness and see how people are transformed through the gospel of Jesus Christ each and every day. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. The theme for Youth Works this year comes actually from Psalm 23, verse 6, "Surely goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life." And so we got to dwell in this psalm all week long and just kind of understand more about how this psalm speaks to us. And I think it's interesting because this is how we'll start out. When do you hear this psalm the most? Where do you have to be at or where do you have to go to? Funeral, right? Yeah, And that makes sense because this psalm is full of promises from God, right? Especially in those times where we need it the most, this psalm fills us. I have two slides on the screen that kind of talk about just all of these areas of our life where this psalm fills us in relationship, in supplying rest, refreshment, healing, guidance, purpose, protection, and the list goes on. Faithfulness, comfort, hope, consecration, abundance, blessing, security, and eternity. What sticks out to me the most, and I think this is why this psalm gets read at so many funerals, is actually verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Funerals are a lot of times, at least they feel like, those shadows of death, right? Those valleys that we exist, that time of grief, of anger, of confusion, of kind of realignment of life. And that's what happens during these huge crises or huge life events, whether it be births or deaths or anniversaries or birthdays or weddings, whatever they may be. There's this reorientation that occurs and this kind of reaching out and clinging to something. And the psalm has a lot to cling to, right? Because sometimes life can seem like a lot of valleys. It can seem like a lot of times that there's life is casting this shadow over all that we are and that we're constantly walking through this valley of the shadow of death and we're reaching out and wondering, is there anything I can cling to? Is there something I can hold on to here? This week we got to really hear that on Tuesday night. We were at a facility, it was actually a school in kind of the outskirts of Milwaukee, and an organization brought in three speakers to kind of just talk with us and have some dialogue. And these three speakers had some pretty powerful stories. They were all young men and women, I would say, in their late 20s, early 30s, and they had gone through some stuff that I would say our kids, and at least I have not really dealt with in my life, and so it opened up my eyes to just kind of a new story, a new narrative. The first guy's name was Jonathan, and Jonathan had a rough childhood, grew up in a foster, grew up in the system, was abused, went through a lot of tragedies, and therefore turned to the streets at a very young age. At the age of 11, 12, joined a gang and lived the gang life and was in a gang until his late 20s. Very rough, has a lot of background that he knows that he has to deal with now, a record that he's got to deal with now. But somehow, some way, God got a hold of him, and God completely transformed his life. He's now working with the PD, and he's working with ministries and outreach organizations trying to reach people and trying to get kids off the street. And he's a completely different person than he was a year ago. And his baptismal theology, since we have baptisms this morning, is actually phenomenal. Someone asked him during our dialogue, asked Jonathan, they said, Jonathan, all those things you still have memories of what you did on the streets. How do you separate what you did on the streets and what you're doing today as far as in ministry and working for God? And Jonathan went back to his baptism. He said, a year ago I was baptized. That person that lives on the streets no longer lives with me. It lives in the water at baptism. I drowned. And now I live a new person that came out of 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creation. So we got to talk to Jonathan. And then we got to talk to another a young woman who was just going through kind of everyday culture struggles as a young child. And therefore, I think when she was 13 years old, went into her mom's medicine cabinet and took 70 pills out and ate them all. She was in a coma for 3 days. Her liver almost needed a transplant. Her youth group came and 24/7 prayed for her those 3 days she was in the hospital. And God performed a miracle in her life. She came out of a coma. Her liver restored itself. God got a hold of her through that experience, and now she's, again, working for a church in Milwaukee area, working with young adults, trying to change their lives through the Word of God. And then the last person that we talked to, quite young, just got married, 25 years old. When he hit the age of 23, he's already a member of AA. He went through generational alcoholism through his family. He grew up with alcohol, started drinking at a very young age, and then by the 23 years old, was already a member of AA and trying to figure out life. And it was through that program that God got a hold of his life, and he started telling people about Jesus Christ. So just these powerful stories, and as I'm thinking of Psalm 23 and these stories and walking through the valley of the shadow of death, I start to see Psalm 23 in a little bit different view, because the promise, the rest of verse 4 is this: as I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. This promise of God's constant protection, this promise of God's constant presence with us, It seems to transcend reality even, and it transcends those dark moments in our life, because what the psalmist is saying is that the shadow or the valley is not a place that we dwell. It's not a place that we stay or call home, but it's a place that we walk through, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And how do we walk through that? Well, we walk through it because God is with us, right? Because we're not doing the walking, but God is walking for us, ahead of us, behind us, carrying us when he needs to, right? And so we hear this and we understand, well, that makes sense. That's why we read this psalm at funerals, these dark times, these valley-like, shadow-like times. But something that stuck out to me this week is, what about the rest of life? I think that works really well for those transitional moments and those reorientation periods of our life, like funerals. But what about Monday morning? What about Wednesday afternoon? What about Friday night? Where's God then? How does my faith interact with my life then? Does it? You see, a lot of times I think we treat our faith a lot like we treat Psalm 23. We have it on the cupboard of our life, and when we need it, we pull it out, and it's there, and it provides for us, and then when things get well again, we can put it back. And I think we do that with our faith also. When I'm in a deep crisis, when I'm in a time of need, I call on God, and I pull God out of the cupboard, and God is there, and he's with me, and he's present with me. But then when life is good, I can put God back in the cupboard and come back another day. A few weeks ago, I had a conversation, and these conversations were just a day apart, but they were separated. The people were not familiar with each other. But both of these young adults came in, and they were talking about just this feeling of deep loss. They had just finished their college, year in college, and they were just at a loss. They looked around, and they heard culture telling them some very loud things, that they had to have everything put together, that they had to know what their vocation would be, and their relationship should be signified by this time, and they had to understand of what their gifts were and who they were and kind of have all of life figured out. And they just felt lost because that wasn't the case for them. And so they felt behind. They felt like everybody else had everything put together, but not them. And so they wondered, where was God for them, or what was their calling in life? And they struggled. And then I started reading Psalm 23. And I started hearing these promises. And I heard what the world was yelling at these young folks. But I heard Psalm 23 whispering something else. I heard Psalm 23 telling a different story. And it's the story of the everyday life of faith. What the world tells us and what Jesus calls us to sometimes are completely different things. Following Jesus might put you at odds with the world. Following Jesus might put you at odds with the world, and that's not always a good feeling. But maybe it's the right feeling. So what do I mean? Well, I think I'm going to compare them together. I'm going to take Psalm 23 and ask what that says. And I'm going to take the world and ask what that says. And so let's see how this works out. What does the world say? The world says you're unhappy. You should go and buy more stuff. Psalm 23 says, I shall not want, for I have all that I need. The world says the busier you are, the more important you are. Fill up your calendar. Psalm 23 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. The world says, follow your heart wherever it takes you. Just do what your heart desires. Psalm 23 says, God leads me. And those are the right paths. Psalm 23 says, the world says, be afraid. Be very afraid. Live out of your fear. Psalm 23 says, I will fear no evil. The world tells us that everyone is for themselves. Fight your battles. Psalm 23 says, for you are with me. The world says, seek comfort in the pleasures of this world. If it feels this good, it has to be right. But Psalm 23 says, your rod and your staff, that is what brings me comfort. The world says, kill your enemies. Rage war. Speak hate. Psalm 23 says, you prepare a table before me. In the presence of my enemies. Eat with your enemies. The world says you will never be good enough. God said, I have made you more than enough. I have anointed you with oil. The world says things are scarce. Take everything that you can. Fight tooth and nail for every last bit. Hoard it all. Psalm 23 says, I might not have anything at all, but my cup overflows. The world says, always watch your back. You never know when someone's going to turn on you. Psalm 23 says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And finally, the world says, YOLO. You only live once. Throw caution to the wind and do whatever you want to do. It's going to be okay. Psalm 23 says, I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. How does your faith, how does your understanding of Scripture, how does your trust and belief in Jesus the Christ interact with your daily life? What does it mean to trust God not only with our salvation, but to trust God with our daily life? With the ins and outs, our actions and our words. If I can trust that God is in it for the end, if I can trust that we are going to have eternal life with God forever, can I trust that God's going to take care of tomorrow? Can I trust that God is going to be amidst my decisions and my choices and my words and my actions today? Is God out there somewhere cleaning a spot for me in heaven? Or is God right here walking me through the days of my life, holding on to me, carrying me, leading me, guiding me, speaking to me today, tomorrow, this week? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Surely goodness and faithfulness will follow me all the days of my life. And all of us, yes, someday, maybe even today, will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen.